The Weekly Dish podcast is presented by Common Ground Minnesota. Food and farming conversations from Minnesota women in agriculture. Learn more at commongroundminnesota.com or follow them on Instagram at commongroundminn.
Hey, everybody, it's Steph March for Common Ground Minnesota. Listen, food brings out the passion in people, so let's talk about food together. Common Ground Minnesota is an online resource for you to do that, and it's run by volunteer women farmers from Minnesota of all walks. We're talking big farms, small farms, we're talking dairy, we're talking produce. These women in agriculture are growing and raising the food that we all eat. We love to have a chat with them about what it means to be sustainable and what does it mean when they're using pesticides and why are they doing it. All of this is available at Common Ground Minnesota website. It's commongroundminnesota.com. And then on that new website, you guys, there are videos, there's, you know, FAQs, there's topics, there's a great blog, all sorts of things, and recipes and farm dogs, too, by the way. So there you go. Commongroundminnesota.com is your great resource for everything food and families and farms. Don't forget, check them out on Instagram at Common Ground MINN. Weekly Dish for the second hour on My Talk 107.1. I'm Stephanie March.
And I'm Stephanie Hansen.
You are. You're Hansen today.
I am. Just Chansen.
Just Chansen and Smirchy over here for you. So I didn't give the weather report, you guys. I feel like on the top of the hour, I usually give a good weather report. I'm telling you right now, apparently we're going to get some snow.
Yes.
And I feel like you should be thinking about braising. That's all I'm going to say.
All Yum. Right.
We're going to do top two in hour two.
Give him the old one time.
And now, the Weekly Dish presents...
Top two, top two.
The top two...
Pick your best two.
In hour two.
All right, give me two, winning.
All right, this is the time of the show that we talk about two things that we are loving or mildly obsessed with, as I like to say, this week. Do you want to go first or do you want me to go first?
I will go first.
Okay.
I have a friend who lives in Walla Walla, Washington.
Walla Walla, Washington.
And he's a professor. And every year for Christmas, he sends us this round tin of cheese.
Government cheese?
It sort of looks like government cheese, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's called Cougar Gold. And it's made from Washington State University, Washington State University. And it's an award-winning cheese. And every year the cheese comes, Ellie, Kurt, and I are like, oh, the cheese.
The cheese is here.
And you open up, it's this big wheel inside this metal tin. And it's a very aged white cheddar that's crumbly, like a Parmesan kind of. It's super nutty. It's super delicious. And I was just thinking about this cheese because I just made beer cheese soup and I used some of this cheese in the soup.
Uh-huh.
So I'm going to put a link up. You can order it online. It is very delicious. It's $25 for a 30-ounce tin. And it's just super good. Cougar Gold cheese from Washington State.
I feel like they might have just written this up in Bon Appetit. Or something online. Like,
I don't know.
Is it a blue and yellow tin? Like it's a blue and white stripy thing?
Yes.
Yeah. They did a blog called In Defense of Canned Cheese.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I think that was it.
This Cougar Gold is amazing.
And the funny thing is, I mean, my God, if Jake goes to college out there, he could become a cheesemaker. Who knew?
Oh, I would love that.
I already told him that he has to go in.
I wanted Ellie to buy a goat farm and be a goat cheesemaker.
Yeah, come on. Let's do it. Why? If our kids aren't going to, like, you know,
maybe
evolve into making us food.
We can have a little commune. We can live on the opposite side.
We have to live in different parts of the commune.
Yeah, you would live in your house and I live in mine. But
my
yurt,
your yurt. Yeah.
A shared area.
We could do
Stephanie
that.
Meyer could come.
Yeah. Well, speaking of Stephanie Meyer, that's one of my top twos.
So, oh.
I know. So she has a class tomorrow, you guys. It's called, she's doing a little cooking with Stephanie. I know we talk about, Project Vibrancy. She's been on the show. She's got a little cook along with Stephanie tomorrow, Sunday, January 24th. And it's going to be about an hour and a half long. And they are doing a mini batch cooking session. And it's $50 to attend. And basically, she's like, they're going to walk through. You'll prepare enough food for three meals during the week. She's going to prepare one protein, two condiments, a starch, and chop some vegetables. Right? And
okay.
So you can still sign up. I think you can still get the shopping list and instructions for creating three fast, healthy, and very flavorful meals from what you batch cook. So I think it's great. It's going to be on at 1 o'clock tomorrow if you can still sign up. And she's already got it listed. So seasoned ground pork and pork meatballs, tomato sauce, cucumber yogurt sauce, boiled potatoes, sliced cucumbers, and sliced radishes. That's what you're making.
Okay, yum.
So there it is. So we're going to put the link up on the Facebook page. You guys can still sign up if you want to learn how to cook with Smyer.
Which is always fun.
Right.
Okay, my next one is the return of a cocktail class featuring Crooked Water Spirits.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be happening at Layla. It is a class that will begin at 7, and guests are encouraged to arrive a few minutes ahead. It is going to be, like I said, at Layla.
So it's a
Layla event.
Is it the Layla bartenders are teaching it? Or
yep. Okay. It's a winter cocktail. So okay. You'll leave with the skills and recipes for your next get together.
Okay.
You'll get recipe cards. You'll get to taste the drinks that are made. You'll get a demonstration and admission to the class.
We are actually going to have Heather Manley from Crooked Water Spirits on within the next couple weeks.
Great.
Because she's got some new stuff coming. So she and I talked about having her come on and talk about things. So I'm excited about that. All right. So my second one is actually going to be The Good Grocer.
Return of the Good Grocer.
Return of the Good Grocer. And I really want to make sure that you guys understand what this place is, because I think it's something that we can support. And I kind of feel really good about it. What it is, so Good Grocer opened, it was next to 35W and Lake Street, and a couple years ago, and they had to close because of the expansion of the highway. Well, they've relocated 5 blocks north on each street. So they're right off of Nicollet and like 27th. They're kitty corner, you know, from, Ichido Ramen, I think. So, so the thing about Good Grocer is it's a grocery store that is, their mission is to put out really good, healthy food, good products, fresh produce, fresh food at a very affordable price. Very accessible, very affordable. And so what they want is, so when you go in, you're going to see that the prices are way low. And the reason that is because the store is completely run by volunteers. So they've eliminated labor cost as an operational feature, which then allows them to price everything at dirt cheap prices. So what that means is that there's two aspects to this. One, the one thing is that if you want to volunteer, all you have to do is you go and you sign up to volunteer for 2.5 hours a month. That's it. You sign up for 2.5 hours a month and you get to then have 20% off those low prices. So you're already doing good by helping other people's keep the prices low, but then you also get a discount.
Sure.
And then the other side of it is if you just shop there, if you just go and shop there, basically you're fueling all the money. It's a nonprofit. So all the money that you're spending there goes back into making things more affordable for people.
I love it.
And it fuels something in the front called a food outlet. And the food outlet is a place where everything is even more affordable than this. It is it's not a food shelf, but it's as close as you can get. You know, it's like 75% off of the cost of things. And it's for people who are insecure and maybe feeling, you know, some food insecurity, and they can apply to get a membership to this outlet. So it's great. But every dollar you spend there is going to help keep fresh food affordable and in the community. So that's what I want to say is when people, you know, sometimes people think, well, I shouldn't go because I want to leave stuff on the shelf for so-and-so. I don't want to take this bar of granola bars if somebody else needs it more at this price.
So you can be a bona fide cheapskate with happiness, knowing that you're supporting other people's ability to get access to food.
Exactly.
I love it.
Yes. You can go ahead and get all these great prices and do good by doing it, because they need to keep product moving and they need to keep the store evolving.
So, I'm going to totally check that out.
Yeah, it's Good Grocer, and you can check out, like I said, you can volunteer and get even more cheap, you know, and get even more affordable food. That, I mean, they have organic stuff there that is, like, if you compare shop, it's insane how much more affordable it is and how great that is. And they need to move fresh produce. Remember
right,
that.
Right, right.
So, like that's the thing is, like, people are like, well, I don't want to take this. And you're like, but it has to go, and they can get more.
Yep.
So, like, let's keep
this
doing
would be
that.
Good, too, for my college-age students
this
who
is, marvelous.
Is moving off of the parents' dole.
Yes. Also,
and needing to. And all of a sudden, she's like, Mom, do you know how much cherry tomatoes cost? I'm like, yes,
I
do. I know how much all the food costs that I've been buying for you for years.
Yes. And also, what I love about this, too, is that he, you know, Kurt Vickman, who is the owner, he talked about, or the, you know, the kind of the lead on the project. He talked about how there's sometimes you'll be shopping and there'll be things that say, buy one, give one. And so if you purchase like this can of coffee, a free can of coffee goes right into the food outlet or something like that. So yeah. There's that impact. And then the other thing is he said he's stocking things that he has vetted. They as an organization have vetted their good imprint in the world. And I think about Ellie and college students who have this very big need to like, you know, think about the carbon footprint and you know what I mean? Like they're very climate change focused. And he said that he has been sourcing these things that are vetted, that they are companies that are affecting good throughout the world.
I think, too, there's this theory that you can't get good food inexpensively.
Right.
And that's what he's trying to fight. That you really can.
Yeah. And it's like if there's a way to do this, if there's a way to make that happen.
And give back to your own community.
Yeah.
Because shopping local, you guys,
I know.
Makes a huge difference.
Yes. And even if you're not buying local product at this one, even if you're buying like a Welch's grape juice, you know, snacks. But the thing is, what you're impacting in this community is a local force.
Yes.
So
yep.
In that case, that's how that goes. All right. Those are our tops. There we go. We're going to take a quick break, you guys. We're going to come back.
I got a fail. I have a cooking fail I'm going to share with you when we come back.
We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Stephanie Hansen from Weekly Dish, and I just moved from St. Paul to a single-family home in Golden Valley. And I've bought and sold 3 homes in the last 5 years, so you'd think I'd be an expert, but I'm not. The real experts are Carrie Elkst and Sue Durfee from Lakes Area Realty at carrieandsue.com. They will help you find the home that's right for you. When I bought my home, it was very stressful. We wrote 3 purchase agreements, and I dumped 1 home after inspection because it just wasn't right for me. When it was time for the final walkthrough in Golden Valley on the house that we did buy, there was a small issue that came up, and I remember Sue telling me, "Don't worry, I won't let you buy this house if we can't get this resolved." And I believed her, and the transaction got completed on time with the final adjustments we needed. Sue had so much experience and is really respected in her field. And when you're making such a huge purchase, you want to work with experienced agents. Carrie is super responsive. I never felt like I had to wait for her to get back to me. They're a small but mighty team, and we drove all over the Twin Cities looking for my perfect home. Carrie was so great. She showed me 3 homes one afternoon, and I didn't even have an appointment scheduled. Another time, she called agents that worked a particular neighborhood I was interested in to see if any houses were coming on the market soon. So if you're selling your home or want to downsize, call Carrie Elkst and Sue Durfee at Lakes Area Realty. That's Carrie at carrieandsue.com.
All right. Welcome back to the Weekly Dish. So I have a win and I have a loss. As starting out the new year, you know how I always have my food goals?
Yep.
One of my food goals was to make sourdough bread. And I have made 3 loaves now. Mm-hmm. I got a starter and I'm feeding my starter. And I'm very inspired by Elizabeth Reese and Bradley Traynor.
Is it annoying to have to feed your
kitchen
starter?
It's not annoying. It's very therapeutic, actually.
Okay.
The whole bread thing is becoming sort of therapeutic. I like it. And the reason it works is because we're at home.
Yeah.
So you are feeding your bread every day. Then you're making a loaf pretty much every day or every other day.
Oof.
So this is why this works for all of us in this pandemic environment, because we're home to... Sure. The recipe that I have on my website, like you have to touch the bread like 5 separate times throughout the day before you actually bake it.
Yeah.
So I did a big sourdough baking segment with Jason's show, and I put that on our website so you can watch it. But I got the starter. You can buy starter. You know, we have great heritage milled flours in town with Bakersfield, mm-hmm. also Sunrise flour mill, and you can make this bread. You need a certain a kind of utensils, right? You need what's called a batten. So it's a wood basket and it has a linen liner, and you flour the liner and you put the bread in there for the final rise so that it gets the shape of either the round boule or the oval loaf. So I'm getting all my ingredients. This is my 3rd bread. So I've made 2. The first one was excellent. The second one tasted good, but it didn't rise enough because I was rushing it because I had a dinner party
mm-hmm.
for my friend Sarah and Bill. But it still tasted good. And then this was like my 3rd attempt. So we went to Dolores's for dinner, came home. I put it in the oven and I'm like 40 minutes. It's 450 degree oven. It's super hot. And I put my water in my pan to give it the steam to help it rise. And as it's cooking, I'm like smelling burning. And I keep looking at it and thinking, why? It doesn't look like it's burning. At some point, I realized that I have cooked the bread in the batten with the linen in the basket.
You stuck the basket in?
I did.
the oven.
I did.
Oh my God.
I didn't like turn it out. And
no, huh?
I just wasn't thinking. And I put the entire basket in the oven, which is now burning.
Of course.
It's black.
Yeah.
But it's like getting browner and browner. But I'm looking at it in the oven. I take a picture of it in the oven. I said to Kurt, do you smell anything? And it smells like burning shirts.
And you're and at that point, you still hadn't realized it was the basket.
Nope.
Wow.
And then I all of a sudden, like, looked at it, and I was like, oh, my God, you're so stupid.
Ugh.
I pull it out. So this is my loaf for TV, right? My big show loaf.
Oh,
and
really?
I don't have time to make another one.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to, like, get the loaf off of the linen. It's tore the whole bottom off. Basically, I have to get a whole new basket.
Yeah.
It was such a fail. And I thought, this is such a fail, I have to share this on TV. Because this is what...
Well, it's the reality.
You have baking fails.
Although I don't know any other people who have put their basket in the oven.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
So, and the funny thing was, is I posted it online and like, see if you can spot the fail. Very few people actually got it.
Right.
They were looking at the picture of the basket in the oven, but very few people. Elizabeth Reese figured it out.
Well, I was going to say, most people don't have, you know what I mean?
I mean,
the majority of people aren't baking to that level, I don't think. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Because you can bake it without the basket. Like, you can make sourdough without the basket.
Yes, you can. And actually, the producer on the Jason show told me that he makes his in a cast iron Dutch oven.
Yeah. I've made all of my breads in my oven.
Okay,
my
so I
oven.
Might try that, because I obviously have to buy a new boule, or a new Banton. Banton? Is it Banton? I have to buy a new one, because it's obviously burned. So I might try the Dutch oven.
But yeah,
so that
easier.
Was a fail. And then I had to go on TV and like show John Krause's beautiful loaves. And the Honey and Rye sells the starter.
These are professional bakers.
Yeah, and Bakersfield.
Yeah.
So it was just kind of a funny segment.
That's good.
Okay. The second thing I did, though, which was not a fail.
Okay.
I perfected the beer cheese soup recipe.
I mean.
And I looked at like 7 different recipes and I analyzed like, why does this one start with cooking sausage? Like,
ooh.
I really wanted a beer cheese soup that was just the beer cheese and the soup. I didn't want to have meat in it.
Right.
I wanted it to feel traditional, like with the popcorn.
You wanted
top.
It to have a memory. You were looking for the taste memory.
Yeah. And I looked at all these recipes, and a lot of them had, like, of course, flour as where you make a roux. Others had cornstarch. Others had baking soda, which I thought was interesting.
Yes.
And so I really looked at different kinds of beer, and I got it all down. I made my recipe. Fantastic.
So what's the key?
I think the key is a little bit of cornstarch and a lot of flour.
So what
is cooking the flour off?
So let's break this down, because what you're putting in, like,
4 tablespoons of butter. Carrots, celery, leeks.
Okay, so you're doing sort of
mush, getting that all down. Yep.
Right.
Then you take a half a cup of flour, so it's a lot.
Yeah.
And you sprinkle that over your veg,
mm-hmm.
and you cook
your roux.
So that it's making your roux. And then you have your cornstarch mixed in with your flour. And
okay.
I only used a tablespoon of cornstarch.
Okay.
So then you get this sort of, like, it almost feels doughy, kind of.
Yeah,
it's
I love those vegetables.
It's all mixed in.
That's where I make my chicken pot pie stuff.
But yeah, then you throw in your beer.
Yep.
I actually used Summit Winter Ale, which I thought was fantastic. It gave it a good color. Another trick that I have, and I don't think I put this in my recipe, but I need to. I used a half a teaspoon of turmeric.
Oh.
Because I wanted to get that kind of oranger color.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And turmeric doesn't have a huge flavor necessarily, but it's very anti-inflammatory. It gives things a nice color. And paprika I used too, and that is in the recipe. So... that all going.
The beer bubbled
up. My beer bubbled up and it deglazed my pan. The beer did.
Mm-hmm.
Now I start with the half and half and the chicken broth.
Okay.
Now I didn't have half and half. I used whole cream.
I always use whole cream. I never use half and half.
And I thinned it with a little bit of water, but half and half is what the recipe calls for. So then I have 8 cups of cheese. And I used of that Cougar Gold. I used
white cheddar,
some Colby Jack, because I get these cheese boxes at Christmas and I have all this cheese that I don't eat.
Crazy.
So every driven drab I had.
And you did not buy shredded cheese.
No,
you,
I did not.
I shredded it
because, you can't use the shredded, pre-shredded, because it has
It's just harder.
Shards.
Yeah, it's harder.
But I got it all, and I'm throwing my handfuls of cheese in there and my bay leaf, and And it's holding, and it's not breaking. And
wait,
it's
so did you just, this is important for me. Did you just use, you used white cheddar and you used Colby Jack, and then did you put a couple other cheeses
white
in it?
White cheddar.
So white cheddar and Colby Jack.
Yes, two types of white cheddar, different kinds.
Okay, go ahead.
And that was what I used.
Okay.
And then I started the process of throwing the handfuls of cheese in. You take it off the oven, you turn it off the heat to mix the cheese in. And then Kurt wasn't coming home for another hour and I was starving. So I ate mine and I thought, well, this will be the real test because I'll turn the oven off or the stove off and I'll just leave it on the in the pot for when he comes home. He came home, turned it on, heated it up. It didn't break.
So it didn't get oily. It didn't get oily. No, I think with white cheddar, you have less of a chance of getting oily because with yellow cheddars, it's like that annatto, you know, mix that kind of, for me, always feels like that's what does
it. I had 2 cups of Colby Jack to 4 cups of white cheddar, 2 different kinds.
Okay.
So it's 8 cups of cheese. So, actually, no, I had 6 cups of white cheddar.
Did you feel that it was the consistency was, was what you wanted it? Okay, we're wrapping up, but we're going to talk about this.
Yep.
At the end of the show if we need to.
And I posted the recipe.
Okay. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Weekly Dish. I wanted to tell you that this is January, and January for me is dry for you, I guess, is hot toddy for me. So I wanted to welcome Mr. Dan Oskew to the show. Are you there, Dan?
I am here.
Good Hello. Morning. How are you?
I'm fantastic. How are you?
Super good. Happy hot toddy January. I mean, are you, so of course, Dan Oskew is the owner of Tattersall Distilling, and longtime bartending veteran of all things. And you guys are on the kind of the cutting edge of the whiskey situation that's happening in town. You guys have just launched Bonded Bourbon, and I have been using it in all my hot toddies. So,
oh, it's wonderful, isn't it?
I know. Will you tell us a little bit about what Bonded Bourbon is, since you're the expert?
Yeah, Bonded Bourbon is bourbon that is made in a single distilling season. So you can basically make it, it has to be made within 6 months. And so it all, it has to be 100 proof, so it's strong and delicious. but yeah, it's basically just a way for the government to say that this is made here. They didn't source the booze. It's not blended. It was just kind of a control factor for the government long ago.
You guys have made the first bonded bourbon in Minnesota now since Prohibition. Is that right? That's what this is?
That's correct. In fact, I mean, I don't even know one that was made here before Prohibition.
Right.
But we just couldn't verify that, so we just said the first one since Prohibition.
Yeah. Why not? Pick a date and go, right?
Right.
So then you also did a rye. You did a rye with it as well, right?
Well, so we did a wheated bourbon.
That's it.
And then a high rye bourbon.
Okay.
And so bourbon basically is 51% corn, and then a lot of times, you know, there's going to be wheat. There might be, I mean, you could put really any grain in there. It just has to be 51% corn. Ours are basically 51% corn. Then you've got 35% either wheat or the high rye. And that's what's different between the two. I think they're really fun to drink side by side. I don't know if you've gotten a chance to do that, but the rye definitely has like a really nice kind of spice thing going on where the wheat is a lot more mellow, a lot more tame, and it has a nice sweetness to it.
Do you think that we are now finally, I mean, I know this is sort of a loaded question maybe, but like, I sort of feel like we are finally in a space in Minnesota where these bourbons that you guys are all releasing are really, really like richly flavored and more, I don't know, they're more true to what I think about as a whiskey goes and less of those freshy, weird, you know, flavors that come from young bourbons, I guess. I don't know. Do you think that that's right or am I just sort of imagining?
No, I think you're right on the money. It takes time, you know, and so now all of the distillers that have been making bourbon in Minnesota, it's finally kind of like coming to age. It's mature enough to drink. You know, if you have a young whiskey, it's going to be really kind of grainy in the middle, on the middle palate. Like now you kind of get that full bodied, very rich bourbons coming out because they've been sitting in barrels for, you know, 4 or 6 years. So yeah, it's just taking time.
Dan, how are things at Tattersall going generally? How are you managing through COVID?
Things are good. I mean, we've been doing like the takeout, curbside cocktails. We've been selling our tonic like in syrup form, which is really actually delicious. I mean, things are actually pretty good. We're doing innovating a ton of things for the future. So
yeah, is the cocktail room open?
No.
Okay. And
yeah, I mean, at 50% capacity, it doesn't really work. And things are actually moving around in there right now. I mean, if you walked in the cocktail room today, you'd see that it's just filled with barrels, actually.
Okay.
So
it's become actual production storage space. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, we're using the space right now. So.
And that's good because it means that you guys have at least, you know, you're moving, your business is still flowing. So that's nice.
Yeah. I mean, as soon as we'll open the cocktail room, we'll be like when patio season makes sense. So.
Got it.
I think so. So let's talk, since it's not patio season, other than hot toddy patio season right now. Tell me a little bit about, so if you're going to make a hot toddy.
Yeah, what is it?
So, I mean, like, I don't actually know. A hot toddy to me is a warm, personally, I think it's a warm whiskey drink, you know, sort of like a heated up, you know, water with whiskey, lemon. The classic is like lemon and honey, right? But then, like, yep, Dan, you have bartending experience up the wazoo, as we like to say. What is your idea of how do you make the perfect hot toddy?
Well, we play around a lot. Lately, I've been making, like, you could call it a hot toddy. It's nowhere near a hot toddy, but we got an instant foamer, or is that an instant pot?
The instant pot, yeah.
Yes.
You know what I'm talking about.
Oh, we know what you're talking about.
That thing is amazing.
What are you making in that?
Because we've been sitting outside and having drinks with our neighbors a lot around, like, the fire pit, which is obviously a ton of fun. So I've been taking rum and our pomo. So, like, just a little bit. Our pomo is an apple liqueur.
Okay.
And then a little bit of either maple syrup or honey. And then what I do is I throw almond milk in the instant pot, whip that up, blend in a little bit of pour that into the hot toddy, and then just top it with some cinnamon. It's like really ridiculously good. That was kind of one of those things, like, oh, let's make a warm drink and make, you know, you kind of just have the ingredients you have around the house on a snowy day,
right?
And then we got addicted to them. But normally the way I would make a hot toddy is, I mean, I always play around and sub everything out. So, like, instead of water, you can use, you know, hot tea, which I really like doing that.
Is that a hot tea?
A hot tea.
Hot tea. Like chamomile tea is really nice. I always like to fold in a liqueur on top of, you know, if it's whiskey, maybe like a cherry liqueur or Benedictine or something like that. The honey or maple syrup, I think those both kind of can sub out for each other depending on what you're going for. But yeah, I mean, it's have fun with it.
Have you ever done, I have to tell you that Ms. Relena, you know, down at Whiskey Inferno and everything else, and Volsance, she has made these hot infusions, and she surprised me with a vodka hot toddy. Have you ever thought about that? Like doing that?
I haven't, but Relena's a genius.
She's a genius. Yeah. But this that's the thing is, like, I think we think of whiskeys and, like, you know, like your, like, apple liqueurs and these sort of, you know, more rounder, richer spirits as being this sort of hot thing. And I swear to God, she's like, why not have a gin hot toddy? Why not have a vodka hot toddy? And I was like, because I don't know, that sounds gross. But she infused it with, like, these berries and with, like, citrus, and it was right on. It felt like it was like tea, but it had, you know, kind of a different aspect.
Kind of like a warm sangria. What are those called? The warm wines, mulled wines.
Yeah, I guess so. But yeah, so I thought you guys should do that too.
Done. I'll start playing around today.
I know.
Dan, I feel like you need to know that we are the Instant Pot Queens of Minnesota. We have a Facebook group called the Weekly Dish Instant Potters that has over 10,000 like-minded Instant Pot friends. They share recipes. You could put your hot toddy recipe on there.
Put your hot toddy recipe in there.
This is no joke.
No, that's great. It's a Facebook thing.
It's a Facebook group.
It is.
The Weekly Dish Instant Potters. It's going to blow your mind.
10,000 people hanging out.
So now I have to join Facebook for the first time in my life.
Oh,
I've never
been
on Facebook.
That might be a stretch.
I feel like I missed that boat.
You might have missed that boat, my friend. But
I'll just text you the recipe.
You just text it to me.
And I'll post it for
you. Yeah, and we'll put it on there.
And then I'll tag it on Facebook and tag Tattersall.
Because Tattersall's on Facebook.
Sure.
Yeah, I love it.
See, we can do that. Tell us a little bit about what's coming next for Tattersall. What else you guys got coming up?
Well, we did those little 100 milliliter, we call them cocktail singles because they're, you know, kind of, they're bigger than an airplane bottle. It's like a full-on drink.
Yeah.
So we've got a couple more flavors coming out on that, which is really fun. So otherwise, we've got a port wine barrel-aged rye coming out this year.
Ooh.
I'm not going to tell you when because I don't know when. We keep, you know, that one's sitting at about 4 years now too, which is really fun.
Wow.
And it's delicious. But we haven't really decided when to launch it. So, I mean, discussions have been like, yeah, let's do it early in the spring. We're like, yeah, maybe we'll do it later in the fall. So,
yeah.
You've got the bootlegger, and then you had the grapefruit one, which is called Sundog.
Salty Dog.
Salty Dog.
Salty Dog.
Do you anticipate having another product like that this summer?
I do.
I'm not going to tell you yet.
I will give you a sneak peek just as soon as it's ready, but the recipe is all done.
Oh,
okay. Because I like those products a lot.
The ready-to-pour, you know, cocktail thing is a very, I think that category, I am very appreciative that it has bloomed as it has.
Yep.
And that you guys are kicking so much butt in that area.
Now I think it's about, you know, innovating it. Because there's a lot of, like, the same stuff out there. And I'm not knocking anybody, but it's just like there's a lot of the same stuff out there. So it's like, okay, you know, you really kind of got to be, I think, really creative on what you put out there now.
Yeah. And a lot of it tastes terrible. So if you just keep going with good taste, which Tattersall and you do very well, you'll stand out.
Yeah, that's really good advice.
You know me. Always there with the helpful tips.
He just cuts right to the quick and just
Well, there's so much of it just tastes terrible. I don't care if it's packaged good.
I know.
It looks pretty.
They call it skinny what?
Yeah, and then you drink it and you're like, well, this is gross.
They should have taken direction from you. Can you just make sure it doesn't suck?
Yeah. It's pretty simple, kids.
You know me. Always there with the obvious answers, Dan.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, there we go. Well, thanks for being here, Dan. And I'm going to tell
you're
you
the
that
best.
You need to send us that recipe for the IP cocktail.
Because we've already gotten like four emails. So if you don't send it to us or text it,
we're going to haunt
it'll
you.
Just be a pain.
I got you. Don't worry.
All right.
I'll send those over soon.
Take care. Have a good one.
Take care. Thank you.
All right. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Weekly-ish. Thanks for joining us today. It's been a great day. We've had a lot of good, fun information come across.
We have. Who knew that Cougar Gold, that I wasn't the only one eating it?
So many people are excited about your Cougar Gold and have tweeted
Lyons
back that they have their own.
A picture of half a loaf of cheese.
Half a tin.
And Phil, the unofficial researcher of MyTalk 107.1, sent a really funny picture that I tweeted out of Steph and I at the State Fair with Bernie in the background.
Yep, I do too.
On the stage with us, so that's cool.
So funny. I'm going to officially say that I'm over the Bernie memes, though.
I'm not.
I know,
I'm still here for it.
Everybody's
I'm waning, but I'm still there.
I'm just sort of, now I'm scrolling past, going, actually on the Instagram, I was getting a little tired of it, even though I did it myself, so. Just telling you. Of course, you would expect that of me. Everyone knows. You know, I go fast in and then I'm like, and I'm done.
You are.
I get done fast. Okay. So if you guys have any questions, by the way, about the beer cheese soup, I did have somebody who tweeted me asking about, you know, if you dusted your cheese with flour.
No, I did not.
Okay. Cause that was a thing.
No cheese dusting.
No
just
cheese.
Made the roux.
No dusty cheese, yo.
Sprinkled the flour and the cornstarch on top of the vegetables and cooked it a little bit.
But that's where your flour went. It wasn't in the cheese. Okay.
No cheese flouring.
And that is a typical thing. I think people think to put, I don't know why that's like a, did you see that in other recipes?
I saw it in one and I thought it was weird because that's why I don't want to use pre-shredded cheese because it's making each shred have binder on it.
I just thought that was strange. Right. I know. I know there's a lot of ideas. For what kind of beers you used a winter ale?
I used a Surly winter ale, but also lagers.
I was going to say, if you want something lighter, so you don't have to feel, you know, like it's a very heavy beer, but it's got kind of an effervescence, I think a lager is
Dakota
a really
Soul
nice
is, I like
a golden ale too.
Yep.
You know, is a little bit good.
Dakota Soul is one. I've also, I'm going to try it next with Summit EPA.
Yes. That's kind of my go-to beer of like, that's the one that's in the fridge all the time that just when
Us
you need
too.
A beer.
Saga's always in our fridge too.
Really? I'm more of an EPA, but I haven't had it in forever. And then I just grabbed it. I grabbed a Fair State lager that was really good too.
It's when you get a good lager, it's like a moment.
It is.
Because there aren't a ton.
Okay, I'm going to ask this. I wonder about this. Well, it doesn't really matter because the beer, the alcohol cooks off.
Yep.
But I was going to say, I wondered if you use that hyper cold, you know, premium lager from Fair State, which is booze free. I wonder if that, how that would affect the soup, if anything. Because
I think you could use a non-alcoholic beer.
I think
beer.
You could if you
I've
did.
Done Hairless Dog. I've used in chili.
Yeah.
And, you but know, because I put beer in chili.
Yeah, but yeah, and beer and chili sort of, well, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know if there's any difference.
Work.
It's just flavor. It's just water and
just
hops.
Liquid.
In the
yep.
end, it's water and hops, and that's what you're mixing in.
That's
so.
Right. That's
I don't know
right.
why you would. All right. So what do you have going on for the rest of the day? Are you like, are you running around? Or are you leaving town?
No, I, yeah, we're.
I didn't mean to put you on the spot there. You don't have to tell everybody
what
you're doing.
No, it's okay.
I'm
going to see my daughter. So good. I'm looking forward to that.
Okay.
I'm going to tell her about the good grocer.
Good, do it.
Because she's always on the hunt for good, cheap groceries.
Right. Did you hear, by the way, that Suki and Mimi is opening?
I did. And now, I'll just be honest, I'm at the place where I'm not eating inside yet, so I'm just having extreme sadness. Whenever I see someone opening or something fun, I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
I'm waiting for the vaccine. We tried to get Dolores vaccinated last week. It was a disaster trying to get registered.
Yeah, that's what everyone says.
And we'll
Tuesday.
Just try again on Tuesday. It's our new Tuesday. It's our new Tuesday afternoon plan.
My friend Lisa, she and all of her siblings all got on to get their parents done.
Yep.
You know, and
we're
going
to have to do that too.
Yeah, I think.
And it is a lot to expect, you know, an 87-year-old person to be acting like it's a Bruce Springsteen concert ticket and refreshing and their browser and you know, she's doing all right, but.
Yeah.
It's challenging.
But so that is true. A lot of people are just sort of waiting to see. And I mean, but there's other places like, you know, that are like, so you heard about the Josefina, the Belcour news in Wayzata.
I did.
So Danny Del Prado is opening up. He's taking over the Belcour space with his, you know, his buddy, Steve McMullen. And they are, they're going to open the first, they're going to open the pizza window. So they're going to have the restaurant done, but I think they're just opening the pizza window first. So that people can like order and just do takeouts and pull
Love
up
it.
And all that kind of stuff.
It'd be great to grab a pizza and head out onto your boat there.
Yeah. But I mean, and then opening the rest of it, Josefina will be like the dining room and they're doing Roman. He wants to do some Roman foods, just Italian food, but in the Roman tradition.
Well, and someone was like, another Italian restaurant. Might I remind you people, there is a lot of Italian food. It is not all just spaghetti.
Well,
okay.
And P.S. Wayzata does not have any. So I don't go ahead and. Cripe about it if you're flush with it in the
Mendota
city.
Heights. Yeah.
But yeah, we don't have it out there. We don't, we've got like D'Amico and that's it.
Which is all right.
No, it's
I
fine.
Like
but
it,
that's
but...
like, I want like a beautifully big, like Roman, you know, like a really good, like deep Italian food.
We want a bistecca.
We don't have that.
A bistecca
oh
cooked
God.
In a wood fired stove.
That sounds so good.
Yeah. In Italy, you go, every place you go, you get this giant slab of meat that's been cooked in the pizza oven and then a huge hunk of arugula.
I used to do those in my pizza oven.
Parm and lemon.
We had a Tuscan grill.
And delicious Italian olive oil.
Yeah, and you like cook it over the ashes.
Yes.
Oh, that sounds so good right now. See, I am in a meat place, and this is where I am like absolutely thinking about that I want steaks. I want steaks.
Yeah, Kurt's always in a meat place.
I know
so
he is. Which is nice that you don't have to think about it because it like you have somebody who's with you and like he's like this is it.
So I made a pork loin last night. He was like, "Wow, when was the last time we had a pork loin?" And then we ate it, and he was like, "This is probably why we don't have pork loin because it's just dry and."
You have to do something to it. Was it a tenderloin?
It was a tenderloin, and it was on BOGO 2-for-1, and I rubbed it with dry spice and.
Yeah.
It was good flavor, but it's just like... Meh, meh.
To me, the thing that you do with the tenderloins is to make them into Wellingtons. Because I think you just, if you put like good... I usually do goat cheese and pesto, roll it up in the puff pastry, I mean, I don't do the fancy Wellingtons, but I do this, you know.
And that is
like, it keeps
that.
It moist. It keeps it, you know, it gives like a really good flavor. It's very delicious.
I made one in the instant pot, and I have this recipe on my website with peanut butter.
Oh,
and
yeah, you did
shredded.
That. I remember that.
That was fantastic.
Yeah.
And Dolores makes it where she rolls it in sesame seeds and then fries it. So the sesame seeds are brown, and then she finishes it with like an Asian plum sauce.
Huh.
That's pretty good too.
That is pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, the Great Northern Festival kicks off this week.
Yeah, I'm interested to see kind of what this looks like.
There's some interesting things. Mm-hmm. I was very, you know, Kate Nordstrom is the woman who I remember going to her like
fantastic.
Her, you know, the media debut where they like announced that she was joining, and we were all excited, and then COVID, and then but. Nonetheless, it sounds like it's going to be really thoughtful. I think they're really moving it into some more, I don't know, some really interesting areas, I think. And I think in the end, the goal is to make this Great Northern Festival like a very important winter symposium, you know, along with the fun. Like it's winter carnival and it's the Lopit or the Lopit and it's all this kind of stuff. But basically, for food people, the you know, Yia Vang is doing live fire cooking this Wednesday. And I think you can still get, you know, reservations to go pick up takeout from him. And so it's outside and it'll be fun. But they have the Lopit going on. There's a drive-in movie that they're showing, which is a story about the Quebec maple syrup makers. And it's kind of, it looks very interesting. You can also do it online. You can watch it online and then.
I probably will watch that. My brother-in-law lives in Quebec and they live in a maple forest and tap the trees. And it's, people have sugar shacks and it's a real community thing out there.
I mean, that's exciting. So there you go, kids. That's
what we
got.
There's the drink passport.
Yeah, the drink passport, the crafted thing. That's kind of neat. And there's tons of stuff. So have a good one and go find some winter carnival fun. Go search for the medallion, I guess.
Oh, I forgot about the medallion. That's always high fun at the Cubby Hansen household.
All right, kids. Go have your weekend.
Yeah,
your best weekend.
Have a great weekend. Get out and about.
All right.